Maybe I'm the only one, but have you ever looked at another woman when they were walking into a room and instantly made a determination of what you think of her? Have you ever heard a group of women talking and one is giving advice, in quotation marks, about what would make one of the others look better? With that slight tone, you know the one. Ever walk the halls of a junior high or the high school and just listen to how the kids talk to each other? I'm not sure where we get it from, but we're so prone to trying to make ourselves look better by putting others down. We like to think that we grow out of it. You know, our teenagers are so mean to each other, right? But that's not the truth. The truth is that we don't really grow out of it. We just refine it and get better and sneakier at it until Jesus steps in. Ephesians 5:29-32 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building each other's up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ forgave you." Clearly, we're supposed to use our words to build each other up and not tear each other down. But society says something very different. Words are extremely powerful. Words can breathe life or they can breathe death. And not just the words, but the body language and the tone behind the words can make such a difference in what you're saying. I can say, "That's a really nice dress." And that comes across as a positive reinforcement, building people up, right? Or I can say, "That's a nice dress." And that can tear someone down just based on the tone and the behavior behind it. Not so much a compliment when I say it that way. I think it starts with our sinful nature, even as children. And then it's built up by more and more people using negative talk in the movies, in the music that the kids listen to, and even adults, right? That we just listen to things and it's just kind of always, it's always on the back burner, that negative talk, that negative thinking. And so much of it can be sort of in joking, but there's always a little line of truth behind it, or at least a little, not even necessarily truth, but how we feel behind it. Before we know Jesus, our sin nature is all we know. So that is how we live. We go along with it, right? And society in general says that we should look and act a certain way. And if we don't look a certain way, then people can become very critical of us not looking that certain way. But I wondered how would Jesus talk to us? Would he talk to me the way some people do? Would he think that sarcasm is a good way to jest and joke and have a good time? And I will say in times, it can be just that, just a little joke or just a little thing. But I think that it goes farther than that for most people. I think there are some people who can throw the sarcasm in there once in a while and it comes out as a funny joke and it's cute. And it is just a funny joke. But I think too many of us use it for a way to kind of say what we want to say without getting in trouble for hurting people's feelings. Jesus would never, I don't think, talk to us in a way that would make us feel bad in any way. I think Jesus would speak to us kindly and lovingly. And I don't think that he would ever hurt our feelings. I just don't feel that he ever would do that. Now, are we capable of doing that? We're not. right? We're not capable of being as kind as Jesus because he's Jesus, right? But we can get some help and we can do that, right? I think about how our job as Christians is to go out and spread the word and teach people about God. And what are we teaching them if we're unkind, if we get upset because somebody pulled in front of us in the road and we're driving somewhere and, you know, we say bad words or give them gestures and things like that because we're upset with them. And then we have a bumper sticker on our car that says, love Jesus, right? People who go out and about and are criticizing people because of their choices in the name of God, because that's not how God would do things. That's not how God would, it's not how Jesus would respond. He would love people where they are and show them his grace and mercy. And then as they become Christian, as they turn to Jesus, then he will deal with the details, right? The big thing is to get them to see Jesus for who he is and to love him. And we can't do that if we're not loving each other. I know the reaction that I've gotten when I've spoken unkind words to people, and I know how it feels to receive unkind words. And to be honest, I don't like either one. I like to think that most of us, when we've said something that's hurt somebody's feelings, are going to kind of cringe inside and go, ooh, I didn't mean that to come out that harsh, right? Or I didn't mean that to come out quite like that. I also know that it hurts when you're the one who takes that on. And it may not even intentionally been, like you didn't even mean to say it that way, and something will come across, and or the person that's receiving it just hears it with their filters and takes it wrong, right? And either way, we have a responsibility to make amends, to make it better. I learned in my studies of customer service that it takes 12 to 15 positive statements to reverse one negative statement. 12 to 15 positive statements to reverse one negative statement. So in customer experience, it's usually about an experience, not a statement, one statement, but an experience where they call in and they have a really bad experience with a customer service. And it takes 12 to 15 times of them having to go back into that in order to get that reversed, to get it away from that negative feeling. But it's the same thing when it's a statement. And I think about that when I think about times when I've said negative things to my family, my friends, people that I love, that has hurt them. And not necessarily did I mean to hurt them. Maybe I was just upset myself or angry or frustrated or hurt. And it just came out because I wasn't thinking about it. And then I realized, you know, that I hurt them. And by the time I realized that I hurt them, it's too late, right? So then I have to work on rebuilding that relationship immediately, at least as soon as I figured out that I messed it up. Imagine if instead of using our sarcasm and judgments and negative thoughts and feelings to respond to people, if we actually loved everyone and lifted each other up instead of tearing each other down. I think that would be an amazing change in our world. Doesn't matter if they have the same political stance that we have. Doesn't matter if they have even the same religious stance that we have. Doesn't matter if we agree with their lifestyle, or if we agree with the clothes that they have on, or if they maybe don't smell very good, or if maybe they don't have a home, or the list can go on and on and on, right? If they're different than us, we tend to judge or make some internal decision about that person. But imagine if instead of that coming out, if we would instantly push that away and say, no, this is one of God's people, and showed them God's love through that. Genesis 1:26 says that God made man in his image. So if I'm putting others down, am I not putting God down? Am I not putting his workmanship down? God is the creator of each and every person on this planet. And he loves each and every person that breathes on this planet, that lives on this planet, that has ever been or ever will be. And I don't believe that he would want anyone to be unkind to them. I know he wouldn't be unkind to them. And so I think he wants us to treat them the way he would treat them. Where's the compassion? Where's the love? I was reading through the book of John. I've been doing a lot of studies in the book of John lately and word studies and different things. And do you know that in the book of John alone, there are four times when Jesus tells us to love people? I will put these in the show notes so that you can have them. But John 13:34 says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." And then John 13:35 says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is my commandment, that you love one another." Oh, sorry. This is John 15:12. "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." And then John 15:17 says, "This I command you, that you love one another." It's not even a request, is it? He is commanding us. It's a new command for us to love one another. In the New Testament, in the New American Standard Bible, because that's the one that I typically use, 22 times the phrase "love one another" occurs. I'm thinking that God is pretty serious about this. If he had to tell us 22 times, it also makes me think that he must have known how hard it is for us to do. But I think it must be important to him, because he mentions it a lot. I think it's funny. I imagine how different the world would be if we listened to my grandma's words. My grandma used to tell me all the time, if it can't say something nice, just don't say anything at all. But I think it goes beyond just don't say something, right? I think it goes beyond that. I think it goes to not to say nothing at all, but to do kindness, right? To show kindness and show love. What I have found out is that I can't do it on my own. I've tried to love people that I feel are unlovable, and I'm sure I am unlovable to some people, right? I'm sure some people think that I'm unlovable, or at least they have in the past, maybe not so much anymore. But I can't do it on my own. Every time I try to love someone on my own, in my own strength, in my own power, inevitably I can do it for a while, maybe a few days, maybe a few weeks, maybe even a few months. But eventually I end up failing and going back to my unkind words and my not so loving tone. I easily slip back into those sinful ways. But then Jesus. And my prayer has been in the more recent future or past, I guess I should say, in the more recent past, has been to just, Lord, show me how you see them. Show me the way you see them and love them through me. Show me how to love them. Show me how to show them you, right? And along with that prayer, I also just keep reading my Bible, writing out scriptures that are meaningful or that mean a lot to me or that point me in the right direction. And then memorizing the scripture. So it's in my heart. And so, because what is in me is going to come out in those moments when I'm feeling a little squeezed, right? When I'm feeling a little hard, hurt, when someone says something to me or does something to me that is hurtful or angers me, what's going to come out is what's in my heart. And if my heart is full of Jesus, then Jesus is going to come out. If my heart is full of Julie, then Julie's going to come out. And that's not such a pretty sight. I'd much rather have Jesus come out. And so the more I study, the more I listen to worship music, the more I read, the more I write, the more I memorize, the more I get in my heart, the more of that is what comes out when I run across something that's pushing my buttons and making me have to make a choice of how I'm going to treat people. And the other thing that I often try to do is just take a breath. Before that comes out, just take a breath, because the instant reaction might not be the one that you really want to come out. So when you feel that coming up, take a breath and say, what would Jesus do? What would he want me to see or act in this situation? And then think about that. And then let that come out. So let's not live in the world and follow their lead, but follow the lead of the one who created us and knows what's best for us. It's not necessarily the easy way, but it is the best way. And it is the way that is going to bring glory to God.